Okay, jotted down a couple of ideas about Lag BaOmer. Question, good question. Why is it the machlokes nusach of the Omer? Do you count Hayom Lamed Aleph Yom LeOmer or BeOmer? So nusach svar says LeOmer. LoOmer, come on, LoOmer, and Nusach Ashkenaz is BeOmer, BaOmer, and there's a lot of lomdus why. That's not for now. I think the question really is: are you counting? The question revolves around the issue: are you counting forwards or are you counting backwards? What is the ikar? The Omer was offered on the second day of Pesach, and so are we counting away? Are we counting away from the offering of the Omer, or are we anticipating? The goal is 50 days counting towards Shavuot. So if you count Bi Nusach Ashkenaz, we're counting away. That's really what we're doing. If you count with the Lamed, Lo Omer, so even though it's we mentioned the Omer, but the Lamed has a connotation of our anticipation we're coming. So the question is, many people today daven Nusach Svar. It's very, very common when you go to a shul, even the Ashkenaz shul, the one who counts fear, he always says with the Lamed, Lo Omer. It's very common to hear Omer.
You can't get a board that says Bo.
They don't have all the boards. All the boards. All the boards have a Lamed. So it seems that the Lamed won out over the base. Lamed seems hard. Yet, B'li Yoytzei Min HaKlal, you never heard anyone say, I'm going today to the Lag LeOmer parade. You never heard someone say that it's going to be Lag LeOmer. It's Lag BaOmer. BaOmer. I don't even know what it says. BaOmer with the base. Why is that so? So I saw in a footnote in a sefer, it's because the yard site of the Ramah, see, this is on Lag BaOmer. The Ramah died on Lag BaOmer. Moshe Isserles, his name was Moshe. There's a lot of Torah between Moshe and Rashbi. Moshe was the spitz of Torah Shebenigle, and Rashbi is Torah Hanister. There's a relationship between the two. The Ramah, they say, was very much connected to Moshe Rabbeinu, but he died on Lag BaOmer, and the Ramah writes that the correct nusach is BeOmer with a beis, not with a lamed. So therefore, out of respect, deference to the Ramah of Moshe Isserles, uvnei Yisrael yoytzin biyod Ramah. Therefore, we all refer to the day with the beis BeOmer, not LeOmer. That's what's brought down as being the authentic reason why we say BeOmer, even those who have a minute to say LeOmer, respect for the Ramah. Okay, going back to the topic of bows and arrows. Bows, and as we mentioned 2 days ago, why there's a different minhagim as to why the minig is to shoot bows and arrows. Specifically, children like to shoot the bows and arrows. You can get it in a 99-cent store. They sell the 99-cent bows and arrows. The kids love it. They go crazy over this. They sell in the Svarim stores, Judaica stores. So we discussed the silly reasons because in the generation of Rashbi, there was no keshes. There was no rainbow in the sky. The rainbow in the sky was as a bow. And in the zuchus of him being a tzaddik, the generation did not need the bris, the generation surviving in his zuchus. So therefore, we merames to this concept by shooting a bow and arrow. We also mentioned because it's the day when the mabul began, on the second month, on the 18th day of the second month, on the 17th day of the month, which really refers to the 18th day, the mabul began, and the mabul, Hashem promised he would not bring a mabul again through the keshes. So therefore we allude to the fact the mabul began this day with a bow and arrow. I saw some other very nice reasons. Number one, Chazal say, the Chazal darshan the pasuk in Mishlei, ki chitzim biyad hagibor kein b'nei hanu'urim. Like arrows in your quiver, so too are your talmidim, the talmidim of your are your students. A student is considered in the pasuk, is the metaphor of the pasuk to be called your arrows. Because after a person leaves the Surah Lechameh of Eshim, who is going to perpetuate his message, his legacy, who is going to carry on and bring forth his idea to the world, it's going to be his students. Kechitzim b'yad ha'gibar, kein b'nei hanu'im are your young students. What happened on Lag BaOmer? On Lag BaOmer, the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva stopped dying. 24,000 Talmidim stopped dying. What did he do? He gave up. He went into retirement, took out his pension and sat back and went into the morning kolo. Not exactly. What did he do? He went and he started all over again. He took five new Talmidim and he started all over again. it's the day when he showed how much Talmidim meant to him. After such a devastating har of losing 24,000 Talmidim, to have the courage to go forward and to produce Talmidim from scratch, captures the greatness, the true greatness of Rashbi. Therefore, we allude to this with arrows, because the arrows are a metaphor, bows and arrows, a metaphor for the Talmidim, the Bnei Hanu'urim. Another time given, I don't remember, I can't find the pasuk, I don't know where the pasuk is, that I think it was after Shaul. When Shaul died, David was Masbid Shaul. If I'm not mistaken, this is the Hesbid was David, or for Shaul, maybe it's when David died. I don't think so. I think when Shaul died, David said something along the lines of, we now have to teach the people how to shoot arrows. Malamed, remember the Pasuk Baal Peh? Malamed, I can't find Malamed. Malamed is the Pasuk, it's part of the eulogy. Part of the eulogy, I'll have to look it up, is that now that Shaul has died, we need to teach the young folk how to shoot arrows. The keshes. Yeah. What does that mean? Farshim explains that the keshes alludes to the koich of tefillah. Asher lo kachti miyat ho emoiri becharbi uvikasht. Yaakov Avinu said to Yosef, I'm giving you shechem achad alachecha. I'm giving you an extra portion of land, an extra portion, and this extra portion of land I accomplished, I seized through battle. I seized through milchama. B'charbi uvikashti. The Targum Yonas Ben Uziel says it doesn't mean I conquer this with battle. I acquire this through the koyach of tefillah. There's a tefillah that comes through a cheref, and there's a tefillah that is accomplished through of an arrow, bow and arrow. What's the difference between the common difference between the cheref and the keshes? Cheref is sharp. Just touching the cheref can cause a person to die. You don't have to exert much effort. An arrow, the koich of an arrow is kavana, precision. You have to have precision. When you shoot the arrow, you're shooting at distance, and therefore you have to be very, very precise in how you aim your arrow in order to succeed. So Mefarshim explains that if you daven bitzibur, if you daven with a group of people, then it's like a tefillah of cheref. The koyach hatzibur alone, as potent, can bring success. Just the fact that you're part of a group. But if you daven alone, you're going at it all by yourself, then you need to have precision. You have to daven with kavana. Kavana is alluded to with the idea of a bow and arrow. When Shaul died, when Mefarshim explained the reason why David said about Shaul that now we need to teach the children how to use the bow and arrow, is because as long as we have amongst us, living amongst us, a tzaddik like Shaul, who Chazal say was perfect, was the totality of perfection, we don't need to exert ourselves very, very much. We have the sword. The zechus of the tzaddik is there for us. We don't need to worry. He tells what to do. His righteousness is making upon us. He was the cheref for us. Now that the tzaddik has left us, has gone to Shemayim, we're in trouble. We don't have the cheref anymore. Now we are on our own. And us, relative to the tzaddik, we need kavana. We have to stand long Shemona Esrei's with kavana and precision. Same thing, Rashbi Chazal said that he was so great, that his merit was so great, he was able to exempt the entire world from punishment. And his zechus, there was no need for the keshes. He himself said to his son Rabbi Eliezer that we can take care of the whole world. Hashem will give the whole world, forgive the whole world in our merit. But now that Rashbi has died, it's the Yom Hilula, it's the day of his Petira. On this day, we reenact, we remember that he has left us. We're in trouble. We don't have amongst us a tzaddik that's going to protect us with the koyach of the cheref. Now we need to come on the same way David said with the death of Shaul, we're in trouble. We need to come on to our own merit. We need kavana. We need to come on to the koyach of the bow and arrow. We need the koyach of tefillah, which involves precision, intensity. It's a statement that we are now a dar yosin. We're now in trouble and we need to come on to our own schus, and it's not going to be easy to survive. Okay, let's go to another idea. Another idea. Lag BaOmer, we know that we count Sfira. 7 times 7 is 49, and then comes day 50. That's in the Torah Sanigla. What about 8? 8 is always represents the concept of Lamala Miderech HaTeva. Between Purim and Lag BaOmer, there are exactly 64 days. 64, 65, same exact thing, 64, 65 days. There's another sphere that is going on. We know that Plak, the Simon for Lag BaOmer, is Pei Lamed Gimel, or Pilegesh, Purim Lag BaOmer Shoven, is similar. Whatever day of the week that is Purim, it will be the following year, it will be, or the previous year, Lemafreya will be, the next year will be Lag BaOmer. Purim and Lag BaOmer fall on the same day. There is a relationship between Purim and Lag BaOmer. What is the relationship? They both represent the concept of hiddenness. Hashem does hidden miracles. Purim is all about hidden miracles. Lag BaOmer is all about the hidden reasons behind the Torah. The Torah, there's Nigla. Torah tells you to do a mitzvah, but they are hidden. They are the Sisrei Torah, the hidden portions of the Torah. There's a Sfiras HaOmer between Purim and Lag BaOmer. And the Sfira is not in the principle of 7 times 7, because 7 is the Olam HaNigla. But rather, there's another sphere of 8 times 8. 8 is L'mala Miderech HaTeva. It represents the hiddenness of this world. So 8 times 8 brings us to 64. That is why, B'Hashkocha, there are exactly 64 days between Lag Purim and Lag BaOmer. Okay, let's go. Purim. What? Not Pesach. Between Purim and Lag BaOmer is 64 days. Look at the calendar. 64 days between the two. There's another type of sphere because the two are intertwined. They both represent the concept of hiddenness. Hiddenness in Hashem's Hashkocha, hiddenness in the Sisrei Torah. Okay, next topic. Lag BaOmer, all the Farshim say, represents the Koyach of Tefillah, the Koyach of Refuah. It's a very good time for a person to mevakish, to spend time saying Tehillim, to Hashem should be merape the Chayla Yisrael, and a very nice remez to this is the Melech Roife Nemon Verachamon is Rosh Etevos Meiron. Meiron, the place where everyone ascends to pay homage to Rashbi, his Mokoim, Melech Roife Nemon Verachamon. Okay, another idea. Who was misnagate? Who was the biggest misnagate to the meaning of going up to Meron to light fires on Lag BaOmer? From the biggest misnagdim was the Chassam Sofer. Chassam Sofer, he wrote Tshuvas about this, that it is, he doesn't understand what's going on. This is not the Jewish way to go to Meron and Lag BaOmer. One of his main tainis, and something to keep in mind, is because the only place that has Kedusha, the place that you make Aliyah, is Yerushalayim. The reason why he objected was it's not the Aliyah to Tzfas is in, at least in his time, in his mind, it was taking the place of being Oile L'Regel to Yerushalayim. It's not right to give another part of Eretz Yisrael Kedusha or Kavod at the expense of Yerushalayim. And it seems that in his day, Yerushalayim was really an underdeveloped city. And it could be that the Jews did not even have access to Yerushalayim. It was controlled by Arabs, by Goyim, who knows? Not the same. The place.
You couldn't go to Yerushalayim unless you had money to pay your existence.
So at a time when Yerushalayim was Bechurbana, there was a tviya on going, giving kavod to Tzfas. And that today is not necessarily true anymore, because today, Baruch Hashem, Yerushalayim is biyodeinu, is in our hands. And adrabba, the real estate in Yerushalayim is much more expensive than the real estate in Tzfas. So the kavod we give to Tzfas, Baruch Hashem, to Yerushalayim has been restored. Mela, the tzvi of going to Meron, and it's a question, what would the Chassam Sofer say today? Would he have the same complaint about going to the, as far as, you want to say it's a hocus pocus Yom Tif, that remains. But to say the Taina is that, because he also explained there was an earthquake. In his lifetime, there was a terrible earthquake in Tzfas, and many people died. And there was a lot of pain, a lot of tzara. And he said, shocking, today no one can say things like this, but in his day he says the reason why it happened was because people are giving too much chashivas to Tzfas at the expense of Yerushalayim. So the question is, what would the Chassam Sofer say today when Yerushalayim, HaBenuya, Yerushalayim has been rebuilt to such a degree when he still has the same complaint about going to Tzfas? Okay, next insight. Why is it that on the yard side of Moshe Rabbeinu, famous question, Yosef Moshe Rabbeinu, his day is a Yom Tzom, and Shulchan Aruch Zayin Adar is a Yom Tzom, it's a fast day. And yet Lag BaOmer is a day of celebration. The Yom Hilula, the day of the Patira of Rashbi, it's a celebration. You're not allowed to fast. You don't say Tachnun. And you celebrate. Why is that so? Why is death something which you celebrate, or is death something which you mourn? And so, in fact, the Gemara also, one of the complaints of the Chassam Sofer is, it says the following Gemara Masechet Nedarim, that a person makes a neder, he's not going to eat on the day Shemes by Aviv Oy Rabbi. It's a very Shu Gemara. The day when your Rebbe dies, it's an explicit Gemara Bavli, the day when your Rebbe dies is not a day to celebrate, it's a day to mourn. It's a day to the people who made Nedarim, it was common to make vows not to eat on a day when your Rebbe dies. So what has happened to us? Why have our priorities become so distorted to celebrate the day when Rashbi was Allah Shemaima? People who make tikkunin, many people go to shul, make a yard site, they make a tikkun. The tikkun is not for the person who has yard site. The person who has yard site is fasting, or should be fasting. The tikkun he's making is for everyone else. Everyone else, it's not your yard site, you don't have to worry about it, so you can make a bracha, and the bracha you make should be a zechus for the neshama. But for me, it's my yard, I'm observing yard site, I'm fasting. So why then is Klal Yisrael observing a celebration the day that he died? So there are many answers to this question. Amongst them are as follows. Number one, the day when Moshe Benu died, 3,000 halachas, or some say 300 halachas, were forgotten from Klal Yisrael. It was such deep mourning, they forgot what Moshe Rabbeinu taught them. Therefore, there was mourning. On the other hand, when Rashbi died, he was Megaleh, the Sisrei Torah. He was Megaleh, the Zohar. He revealed 3,000 halachas. Memela, it was a Giloy of Torah, so that's why when he died, it's a celebration. He revealed Torah. Moshe died, they forgot Torah, it was a time of mourning. Another answer, very simple answer. Moshe didn't want to die. This is interesting, very, very right. True. You see this by people even today. People, some people, you go to the Beis Avel, they're not really mourning. They're not too upset. And when you dig deeper, you figure out the Nifter suffered enormously, terrible Yisurim, and Baruch Hashem is not suffering anymore. So the family, they're not so upset. They're not so upset that the Nifter is now at peace, he's not suffering. When Moshe died, it was very painful. Moshe was mispalel, 515 filos ebruno of the Eretz, Eretz HaTov HaZos. It was the dream, the goal of Moshe Rabbeinu to be zeichet, to go into Eretz Yisrael. It was extremely painful for Moshe Rabbeinu to die. It's not what he wanted. It was not part of the plan. It was a very painful event for him and for Klal Yisrael. Therefore, it's a day of mourning. When a person does not want to die, they want to live on. They want to live forever. They want to live forever, and they die, it's very painful. But when a person is very happy to go, Rashbi couldn't wait to go. It was a day of celebration. On the day of his death, he himself was celebrated, it says. He was very happy. And he told, it was one of his Talmidim, Rabbi Yitzchak. He told Rabbi Yitzchak, you're coming with me. I promised I would take you with me. So he told him, go home and tell your wife, put your house in order. Go home, tell your wife you're coming, prepare for your tachlichin, and come back, you're coming with me. It was a day of celebration. He couldn't wait to go. He revealed the Zohar. He was happy to leave this world. So if you're happy, we're happy. Why? Because he wanted to go. He wanted to be close to Hashem. He had enough of this world, this mundane existence. So therefore, it's a very powerful, it sounds like a joke, but it's not. It's a very powerful principle is, the ultimate cover you give a person is to do what they want. The person wants to die. Now, people want to die for the wrong reason, unfortunately. But if a person is happy to go, they've done their tafkid, and they're happy to go, they've achieved their goal, ain't a chanami. So it's a celebration. If it makes them happy, it makes you happy. If you're in pain, then you're also in pain. It's a very interesting...
Would they make a halula of a baisha rabbein?
What? Because Moshe didn't want to die, which I just said.
No, but even if he wanted to make a halula, where would we make it? You don't know his bakim kvura, right?
So we don't make it over here.
And it would be
people who don't go to Rashbi, they make halulas locally. Son, they turn off, they take off the fire alarms, they turn them off, and they go make fires in the shuls.
Where does the traditional fire come?
That's another topic of this. We'll get that a little soon in a moment. That's another topic. Why do I like fires? Another answer. Now, this answer is another interesting answer. Rashbi, you know, so Rashbi was in the cave for 13 years. How did he get into the cave for 13 years? Because the government wanted to kill him. He said, they had a discussion, should we give praise to the government? And he said, all of the streets were all made by the government, were invented, they can put zionites in the streets. You know why they built the Brooklyn Bridge? so they can ultimately have an easy pass. Everyone will be paying taxes to the government. Okay, that's soif davar b'machshava tchila. It's all for their own purposes. It's not to enhance man. When the government found out that he said this, they wanted to kill him, and they sent out their best mercenaries to find him and to kill him. That was their goal. And he was a sakana. He had to run away. He had to distance himself from his wife and his family and hide in their chnes for 13 years until he can come out, until the people wanted to kill him, until they were dead. So it comes out that Rashbi, now let's say they would have succeeded. Let's say they would have succeeded. And they would have got him. They would have found him. NSA would be tracking his telephone calls. Right? And they would find him. What would they do to him? They would torture him to death. They would no doubt torture him the most gruesome torture, and they wouldn't bury him because harugei malchus einam nikbarim. They would put him out for the birds to eat up his flesh. That's what they would have done. Rashbi, how did he die? He died with his family around him. He died on the day when he was megala the seidus haTorah. He died besimcha, and he had a very magnificent funeral. And they in Meiron, Arayom, Azeh, the whole Klal Yisrael is coming to his kever. I think they say 500,000 people come on Lag BaOmer to show to his kever. So it comes out, his death was basically a hoidah. I didn't die. I escaped what was meant for me. It was meant for me that I should be tortured to death and not even have burial. Now I'm dying with my family around me. I'm dying with their kavod. I'm going to get a bar kavodik, a burial. The reason why we commemorate is the minhag Yisrael to commemorate his death is because he was a survivor. And that has a lot of significance in our generation. Maybe that's why it became such a big thing, is because anyone living today, after going through 2,000 years of Golus and is still around to talk about it, is a survivor. It's amazing they were still around after the Crusades, after Tachvatat, after the pogroms, expulsions, after you name it. What Klal Yisrael has been for the last 2,000 years, and Holocaust, that goes without saying, and we're still around to talk about it, and we're still here today to talk about it. We're survivors. So basically, the celebration of his death is a celebration that he is a survivor. The goyim did not, and he represented the whole Klal Yisrael. He represented the shleimus of Torah and midos and tefillah and the siras nefesh, and he survived. We celebrate survival. We commemorate martyrdom, but we celebrate survival. It's very profound, this idea. All of the Sfarim, they quote this idea. That is why it is so critical and so relevant, the Yom Tov of Lag BaOmer. It has much more relevance in our generation than ever had, because as time goes by, Lag BaOmer is only this new holiday. It's only been around for about 430 years, to be precise. It coincides with the discovery of the Zohar. The Zohar was in secrecy, and it only was revealed to the world, became public knowledge. Google Books first published Zohar 430 years ago. Before that, you couldn't get a hold of it. It wasn't available online. Okay?
1587?
What?
1587?
Something like that. 430 years ago, whatever it was, that's the time when the Zohar was Niskala.
At
that.
So
it was a Yechidin. The Zohar was known, it was written, they found Kuntresin. They were Kuntresin only for a select individual. It was a secret. Only individuals had access to it, but it was not publicized for the Hamoylam until about 450 years ago. And that time is when Lag BaOmer became very popular, because Lag BaOmer coincides with the Zohar. But it's very relevant because as time passes, more and more do we celebrate the fact that we're survivors. Beryl Wein mentions that 10 times in Jewish history did the succeeding generation was less than 50% of the previous generation. Wiped out. The Goyim came along, pogroms, and wiped out the majority of the generation, and the next generation was left in 50%. That happened to us 10 times in history. So we're survivors. That is what Lag BaOmer is. Rashbi survived. He died in Nisa, a healthy, normal death. And again, I'm trying to emphasize, it's a very interesting time to celebrate our survival. Okay, another idea Another idea, reason why we celebrate is because it's really a chazal. The Talmidei Rabbi Akiva stopped dying. There's a precedent for this. Tu B'Av. Why do we celebrate the Yom Tov of Tu B'Av? We don't say Tachnun. There are five reasons, but one of the reasons is because the Meisei Midbar stopped dying. So you see in Chazal when there's a Magefa and people stop dying, that's a sign of an Esrat, sign of time to celebrate. Lag B'Omer is a time when the Talmidei Rabbi Akiva stopped dying, and therefore, like Tu B'Av, we celebrate. Okay, it says in the pasuk, why Lag B'Omer? So Lag B'Omer is Roif, two-thirds. We get to two-thirds of the Sphira. Once you get to two-thirds, the majority, Aruba de Minkar, two-thirds, that is a time to celebrate. When you carry a burden, the Gemara says they carry the Aron. Two-thirds of the Aron were below the shoulders of the Kohanim, and one-third is above. When you carry a burden, the Gemara says the proper way to carry a burden is two-thirds below, and one third above, which represents you have to carry, you bear the burden, two thirds is what you have to bear. One third, it's already above you. It's light. It's above you. It's Hashem is helping you carry. The avodah going through between Pesach and Shavuot is a very difficult time. It's a time of din, it's harshness. Once we get to two thirds, when you come to Lag B'Omer, you pass two thirds of this tekufa. The difficult part is behind us. The remainder is a third. It's lighter. It's a time when you can celebrate. There are 17 days left until Shavuos. 17 is the Gematria Toiv. Torah ki lekach Toiv nasati lechem. So Mamela, we like to put together the idea of Toiv with Torah. We're now closer to the Torah than we were further away. In the pasuk that it says, Usfartim lechem imochres ha-shabas miyoy ma'vichmes oimer sheva shaboses tzmimos. In that pasuk, there are 33 letters. So go, even though the pasuk says count 50 days, in the pasuk that tells you to count 50 days, there are 33 letters. So it shows that 33 is also a dimension of the shleimos of the 50 days. So we celebrate that we've already reached one dimension of that shleimos. Okay, let's go to another idea. Burn making fires. Why do we make a fire on Lag B'Omer? What is this all about? Now, Yishai, I was very pleasantly surprised, very, very pleased. I was there last year in Meiron, Lag B'Omer. Last year, my brother, Baruch Hashem, made a bar mitzvah. So I went there for 2 weeks. I was there 2 weeks last year. It happened full time of Lag B'Omer. So I said, I'm here, Lag B'Omer. Not going to go. Lag B'Omer is probably once in a lifetime chance for me to go Lag B'Omer. So I got on the bus. It was probably over 4 hours, maybe 5 hours. I had an incredible hashgacha process, almost spooky, that there was a fellow sitting next to me, about my age, maybe even probably younger, and like I didn't say a word to him the entire bus, a total stranger, got on a bus with all these charedim in Beis Shemesh base. That's like the Naturi Karta section of Beis Shemesh. I don't say it's a good character. I mean, real, crazy. The real heavy duty. And we went on the bus was full. I went on that bus, and it was a nice fellow who used to speak a word of English. I had to talk to him in broken Hebrew, and like at the very end of the ride, I just started a conversation with him, and he basically knew Meiron like the back of his hand. He knew the place inside out. He's been there 100 times. And he knew everything that goes on there, and it was incredible. He took me by the hand, literally by the hand, and he gave me the most magnificent tour of what was going on there on the night of Lag B'Omer. It was a miracle for me. If not him, I would have been gone home after 10 minutes. I would have gone. I'd been so confused. Had to go from the bus, the shuttle, to go from one bus, you have to go on a shuttle to the main place, where to go, this lighting, this halakha, that halakha. I would have for sure walked around for 20 minutes, got back on the next bus, and gone home. And this fellow went and he took me by the hand and he showed me everything there is to know about what's going on. I was there like probably for 3-4 hours, and then I went back home with him. It was incredible. So there, what I was very impressed is I'll tell you what I was not impressed, is I go to some hadlokas here locally, is they have a fire, a big bonfire, and everyone dances around the fire. They dance around the fire. And I always think to myself, the only thing that we're missing is we just have to take some metal, throw it inside and say, Eil Elohecha Yisrael. What is this? It's so bizarre. It's very disturbing to me.
Fire is vanished.
What is this? You go and you're dancing around the fire. It's an Avodah Zarah. But you should know there in Meiron, there's nothing like that. There are a lot of fires. There are a lot of halagas. No one dances around a fire. Nowhere. There's a fire on a stage. No one's dancing around the fire. They dance, or they don't dance. They have speakers. They sing. There's music. There are many different. There are different arenas. Different things going at the same time. No one is dancing. No one is worshiping a fire. So it's not in America. You really get that. You get that impression. You get that impression is that you mamash this divinity in the fire. You should know the fire there is very secondary. Maybe on the videos they could do the halakha. But that's not the people. They light it, and everyone does their thing. No one is worshiping the fire that we have Avodah Zarah. So why make a fire? So the simple reason is Torah is Ar. Ki ner mitzvah the Torah Ar. It's symbolic. It's a metaphor. Ki Torah Ar. That's why you have to have a fire to show the Torah, and especially Rashbi, Megal, the Siddhis of Torah. Ar. That's the basic. Also, it says in the Pit of Bar Yochai. It says there also. It says there's a nusach. I don't have it with me. There's a nusach. Where it says there, it mentions in the nusach of Bar Yochai, a nusach of his neshama, it mentions something about a fire. And therefore, to be mekayim, what it says in the piyut of Bar Yochai, we light a fire. Also, hilula comes from the word fire. Yohel, or Yohel, a glowing fire. So think that it's his yom hilula, the day of his ascent. And the word hilula also means fire, so we light a fire. There's a minhag to burn clothing. Ever see this? To take garments and to throw clothing into the fire. Some say it's about Tashchis. What's that all about? Hashem made for Adam and Chava kosnois or vayalbishem. In the Sefer Torah of Rabbi Meir, the word or is spelled with an aleph, not with an ayin. That the ikar garment is garments of fire, the Torah that will envelops you. So therefore, to show that the or represents the or Torah.
Which word is without I?
Or. Kosnois or. Garments of leather or garments of fire. So in our Sefer Torah, it's kosnois or with an ayin, garments of leather. But the Gemara says, and in the Sefer Torah of the Meir, it says kosnois or with an ayin, with an aleph, which teaches us is that the Torah that a person learns becomes for him a garment in the next world. To show that the fire is not just a fire, the fire represents the accomplishments of learning Torah, that will be for us as a garment, a levush in the Olam HaEmes, to show that the fire is not Avodah Zarah, Pumfaker. You take a garment, you throw the garment into the fire. Take an old shmata, and you throw it into the garbage, you throw it into the fire to show that this fire is not Avodah Zarah. It represents Shleimus in Torah, which will be for us in the Olam HaEmes, the Kosnois Or, not to abuse what the fire is all about. Okay, I wanted to just say something. My mind, I slipped something important I wanted to tell you. We're out of time here. Just one thing I wanted to tell you. I don't remember what it was. So I have to stop over here. And may we all have an uplifting, spiritually uplifting Lag BaOmer.